This program is sponsored by Wicked Chronic in Natick, Massachusetts. Located at 185 Worcester Street, right on Route 9, they can be reached at 508-545-8105 or at wickedchronicvendorcommerce.com. Wicked Chronic is a boutique-style retail shop that focuses on selling counterculture products such as Wiccan, cannabis cultures coming together in a unique setting. You need something for that special spell? Go on down to Wicked Chronic in Natick, Massachusetts and speak to Beverly. Tell them Dr. Chris sent you. Check them out today. Listening to the Dead TV podcast with your hosts, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mr. Seneca.
And returning for part two of Swamp Thing, the animated series from the Deadites, the Trick or Treat radio podcast, which airs every Wednesday on your dark internet as part of the Dark Universe, as much as they seem to love that movie. Michael Raven Shadow.
Bombaleo. Thank you, Dr. Chris and Mr. Seneca. I'm back and I'm feeling extra masochistic today.
And the Dead TV podcast talks about canceled television shows and cartoons in the horror, science fiction, and fantasy, and comic book genre. And this is the last time we will be in the DC universe for quite some time.
This show is painful.
Yes.
Actually, so, Dr. Chris, I got to ask you. I'm very excited to be back, but we've known each other about 10 years now, I think, in some capacity.
Off and on, yeah. But
off and on?
Yeah, more recently in the last few years, yeah.
Fair circles have intertwined.
Yeah.
And I got to ask you, after those 10 years, why do you hate me so much?
What are you talking about?
Because we're watching these shows again, and we're still talking about it.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I figure somebody must share in our pain and suffering, and you work at my comic book store that gives me my crack addiction every... You know, whenever I get my comics, so
fair.
Yeah, so I'm just paying you back for all the money you've spent on me.
I'm happy to be chosen.
Yes, Mr. Zeneca has the plot synopsis for us. I believe it's episode 4, correct? Legend of the Lost Cavern.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Legend of the Lost Cavern. Oh, I didn't have that up.
I will do the episode synopsis. Legend of the Lost Cavern is written by Mark McCorkle and Bob Shuley.
Yes.
Still obsessed on gaining immortality, Dr. Arcane desecrates the Indian burial ground of Tomahawk's ancestors in search of the Lost Caverns, home of the fabled Fountain of Youth.
Yes, that is it.
It aired on May 4th, 1991, so the original May the 4th be with you.
Jesus. That's where it comes from.
In fact, I think that was actually the year Star Wars made its comeback because Timothy Zahn's Heir to the Empire was published in 1991.
Oh my God, yeah. Speaking of things that are more interesting. not only that.
Speaking of things that should have gotten an animated movie.
Why is that? Why has there not been, I'm sure it'll happen, but they've never used the original crew in animated form.
I know.
There's never, it
yeah,
blows.
Except for the holiday special.
Oh, fair.
Yeah, except for the holiday special. But that's always been a question about, like, why, like, Lucas for years just never commissioned somebody to do that. With Carrie now dead, you know, not to slight her, but Misty Lee, the magician, does a great Princess Leia currently in, like, Rebels and video games. So replacing her would not be very hard.
Yeah, it blows me away. I remember watching the droids cartoon back in the day. Remember that?
Danny
like,
Daniels.
Like waiting for Luke to show up. The Ewok movies.
We should talk about droids next.
That'll be droids.
Actually,
did you guys ever watch the Ewok cartoon?
Yeah,
it was great.
That was awful.
Oh, yeah.
That was awful.
I liked it.
Oh my God.
A little charm to it.
No, droids was at least 1,000 times better because Boba Fett and IG-88 showed up, and Daniels was still the voice of C-3PO.
That's true. And they had
that's true. Droids was better.
They had some kind of, like, they had rotating, like, masters, so to speak. There was one cool guy with, like, half his head shaved,
yeah.
Like a long red mohawk. That was kind of dope.
You always bring up a much better cartoon that we should talk about than
yes.
The one we are. So, Legend of the Lost Cavern opens with... the digging up of an old ancient Indian burial ground.
Yes.
The pet cemetery, basically.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, was it Castle Rock that we were talking about? The where the town that he always uses, Stephen King, last episode?
Well, it's Derby.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
But Castle Rock is the name of the TV series that's going to have all these King elements in it.
Okay.
But the podcast I was listening to went through the whole list of characters, and none of them were in anything from Stephen King. But
oh, good.
Sissy Spacek and the Skarsgård actor who plays Pennywise are going to be on the show.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but Sissy Spacek is not playing Carrie.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, again, much better things than what we actually watched.
Yeah, so this episode revolves around Tomahawk and his people's ancient relic because they found the Fountain of Youth.
So what is that? We got two episodes with Native Americans in it? Because the last one had Native Americans in it too, right?
One's the Brazilian Native Americans. Well, I guess not Native Americans if they're Brazilian.
They're not Native Americans. They're Aboriginals.
Oh, okay. Oh, they're Aboriginals. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. But still a savage of some kind, right?
No. Fair. Wow. This is outrageous. Original Brazilian.
Whoa, where'd that come from? I meant for the time period. We're talking like, let's pretend this podcast was taking place in the 1980s when that was politically correct.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Tubular.
Before, like, all of our YouTube listeners, our iTunes listeners go straight down the toilet. And...
Yeah, I know.
But then they'll go straight up the toilet because, like, all the racists start to be like, yeah!
It's true. I mean, to be fair, if we were going to market, we might have two different versions.
Yeah, exactly.
For the demographic. Not that I subscribe to that theory.
So this should have been a video game, Skin Man versus Tomahawk.
Ooh.
Because that happens in the episode.
It does. I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, and I'm kind of liking Skin Man a little bit.
But he turns back in that bat thing later on. It's like, why doesn't Arcade keep them all into their animal forms?
I mean, within the first 5 minutes, he transforms him into the bat creature.
Look, we have to sell this toy too!
Right.
And if you notice, like, I was taking a look at his wings, and in fact, he's not really built like a bat, because a bat's wings actually has the flaps of skin between their fingers, truly. So he is actually more like a bat slash flying squirrel. You know, that flap of skin is coming from his side and from underneath his arms.
Right.
So, you know, it's a little bit of liberty there with, you know, bats, but, you know, he still has the sonic squeak.
I thought it was
he's changed in the first 5 minutes. That was kind of a waste.
I thought it was kind of cool. Sorry, is this the one where his axe had the bat symbol on it? Like, he seems like he was trying to merchandise his own gear.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Like Batman would with, like, the bat credit card.
Exactly. Oh.
Yeah.
Like the unmanned bat.
Yeah. Again, speaking of a guy who's got better cartoons than Swamp Thing. no, then we'll have you come back and we'll do Beware the Batman, that terrible, terrible CGI cartoon where Batman doesn't fight any of his villains. He fights, like, all the, like, Z-list rogues gallery, like Mr. Pig.
Is it? Oh, I fucking hate Mr. Pig.
Yeah.
Is that the one that has the Joker as, like, a dreadlocked, kind of monsterish looking dude?
No, that's the Batman.
That's the Batman, okay.
Yeah. Beware the Batman was the last Batman cartoon series.
Okay.
Yeah, well, only lasted one season.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. Arcade's still obsessed with the Fountain of Youth, and one thing I'd like to point out that as they're reburying this ancient Indian burial ground, isn't Swamp Thing doing more damage, like, running underground?
He is. Like, he's tunneling under the earth in order to move the shovels to plop the dirt into the hole. But, I mean, he's really just tunneling under everything. Seems so wasteful and damaging.
Mm, yeah. One thing I'd like to point out, when you were talking about, like, the extra flap of skin, if this was, like, in the Swamp Thing comic book by Vertigo, that extra flap of skin would probably be, like, around, like, the testicle region. So he'd be, like, some type of testicle man who attacks Swamp Thing with his testicles.
That's a cartoon.
Yeah.
That would have lasted more than 5 episodes.
Oh, my God.
Maybe
yeah,
on, like,
we
Spike
do
TV
get to see Abby Cabrera for just a short period of time in this episode.
Yes, and she's just all, like, blue-eyed and like, oh, Swamp Thing!
Yeah, and she gets the special music when she appears on screen.
Exactly. You
know, the twinkling of the sounds to make it seem more feminine.
Yes, because she's, like, in love with the plant creature as a teenage girl.
Yeah.
It was nice to see her, but I really want to see where her mom is. Did they ever explain that?
I think her mom is dead, and it was just assumed.
No, they never explain where her mom is, or what she's doing, or how she got into this predicament, because she is the stepdaughter.
What do you think's in the burger?
Oh, shit.
There's a little, you can't do that on television reference.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah. You know, they can never, again, speaking of a much better show, they can never release that on DVD because they can't track down everybody who was in it to pay off their, like, royalties. But there's a documentary about You Can't Do That on Television.
You're right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that you can buy. That's pretty much it. But if you want to watch them, they're, like, apparently, like, on Nickelodeon's website or something for free.
I've got some bootlegs.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved that show, but they can never release it on DVD because everyone involved in it was just, like, you know, just like, God forbid we keep, like, an accountant on hand.
That's true.
That's why everyone has to, like, sign this affidavit so we can release the thing. Otherwise, we can never release it if you don't sign them.
Exactly. We can't do it because we can't find Kevin Ilranovich, Yasputin, Gubicheski, or whatever his fucking name was. Him and Alistair. And I was a big Moose fan. She was my girl.
Mistress Zeneca, why don't you take up from the notes from there?
Well, okay. So, Abby lets out a new unmanned creature, which is kind of a monkey rat thing. They never really name it, but it looks like he tried to transform a rat into a monkey. Kind of weird.
Yeah, Arcade does.
Yeah, and so basically the whole goal is to get Swamp Thing into the transducer to reduce him to a puddle of goo, and then maybe use that goo for his Fountain of Youth thing if the Fountain of Youth option fails.
That
kind of like destroy him, definitely, you know, despite what I promised Tomahawk that I'm going to keep Swamp Thing safe, but no. He's a liar.
This is the prequel to The Planet of the Apes. That monkey would go on to create The Planet of the Apes.
I was kind of thinking about a prequel to Dead Alive, the Peter Jackson film, if he's a rat monkey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
That would be great, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. Yeah. What cool toys did they have in this episode?
Well, they showed the several different vehicles. They showed Swamp Thing's vehicle. They showed the kind of the pontoon boat-ish things.
Okay.
The tanks. I don't think they actually had a toy come out for the crab creatures, the crawfish creature that he made. It actually reminded me a little bit of these South Park crab people. How they rose from the water, crab people. That's what I was repeating in my head watching this. Crab people, crab people. Yeah.
Do you have any supernatural knowledge for us for the tablet that Arcade walks around with?
The tablet, no. The tablet is nonsense.
Okay.
But the who they meet on the other side when they go through the waterfall to the Fountain of Youth, he's actually dressed like a Kachina. The Kachinas are the kind of Native American spiritual guides slash demigods, and they are indigenous to the Hopi and Pueblo tribes, specifically, like only those tribes. So that's like the southwest of the United States, Arizona, New Mexico. This is kind of interesting in the fact that this is all taking place in swampland, so it has nothing to do with the southwest whatsoever.
New Orleans, right? I mean, they're
right around that area, yeah. Not the tribes native to that part of the world. So when I was looking up the actual Kachinas and, like, seeing if they took any of the imagery from a specific Kachina, what I found is that some of the imagery, like the stripe on the face of the mask, the kind of furry band and the little kind of ear flap things, it's very similar to the Eagle Great Spirit Kachina doll, which is doesn't have the horns, but it does have the kind of markings on the ear parts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a conglomeration. It's meant to look like a Kachina, but it's not really a Kachina. So, I mean, they really made up a lot for it, but it was kind of interesting that at least they tried.
The one thing I want to point out is that when Arcade drinks from the Fountain of Youth, he looks like Count Dracula afterwards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But he turns, like, he demutates. I don't know why he would not, why he would mutate back once the effect wore off. Wouldn't he just be an older level of his regular face?
I guess he has to keep drinking it until it replaces all the H2O in his body, because maybe if he takes a pee, he pees out the Fountain of Youth.
Well, it's fair. I mean, obviously, the Native American guardian, he maintains that appearance, maybe because that's how he looked when he first went in the cave, right? Because they explain his secret and his the the secret curse of the cave is that if you can drink it, you can stay forever if you're inside, but once you leave, you become the age you were, you should be.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, when the knight tells Indy to not cross the seal with the cup of Christ.
I was just thinking about that, dude. You've referenced wisely.
Yes, that's the really the only comparison I can think of comparing it to is that I can't think of a movie where somebody wasn't they had to stay in the area that they were guarding forever in order to maintain their youth. And of course, you know, it's like, obviously, it's a great honor because they'll live forever and they'll always be the guardian of the Fountain of Youth. But you just could never leave. So maybe get a cell phone and call some workers to get some Wi-Fi down there.
Yeah, I mean, nothing. Get some girls, you know, get a crew,
God, who says that you can't have visitors and stuff to set up a some sort of a party place? Just you're under house arrest.
Yeah, get the,
I'd be on
that. The Werewolf by Night omnibus. You can get all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
really.
That giant comic book I have sitting next to me. Absolutely. Yeah. That's all I've got for this episode.
That's all I've got for this one. All
right, so we're going to move on to the fifth and final episode of Swamp Thing, the animated series, Mr. Zeneca.
All right. The synopsis for the episode is Experiment in Terror, which was originally aired May 11th, 1991. While showing Dilbert and JT around the swamp, Swamp Thing is captured and taken to New Orleans for government experiments. Dilbert, JT, and Bayou Jack plan to rescue him, as does Arcane for his own plans.
Now, what is the name of the scientist in this episode who captures Swamp Thing?
Dr. Wily?
Must be Dr. Wily's daughter from Mega Man.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man.
Was Dr. Wily the guy who created Mega Man or the villain?
Didn't he have the curly, red hair or something?
The villain had the curly red hair, okay. Eggman, yeah.
I think he was the bad guy.
Yeah, wasn't that Dr. Robotnik?
Oh, maybe.
Dr. Robotnik's from Sonic, man.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Dr. Robotnik's from Sonic. Dr. Wily is from Mega Man.
Gotcha,
okay. Okay, all right, I'm confusing my villains.
Oh, they're mustachioed, balding characters. Yeah.
Basically, all from that era of the 8 and 16-bit, a good, better era of video games.
Yeah, and if you ever seen the, on YouTube, the death battle between Robotnik and Dr. Wily, it's pretty good.
Now, there are surprisingly two characters they've never stuck in a Super Smash Bros. Game, because we've had Sonic versus Mario in Super Smash Bros. Why not their villains?
Interesting.
Yeah, think about that.
That could be kind of cool.
You've been able to play as Ganon versus Bowser. Ganon versus there's not a lot of other villains in the Super Smash Brothers games, but
is Wario in there?
Yeah, Wario. So you've been able to fight with Wario versus Ganon or Wario versus Bowser. I think Waluigi, if you really give a shit about him.
But are there any other iconic?
Not really. Not even
villains?
Mother Brain. Yeah, you can't even play as Mother Brain.
Yeah.
I mean. In the most recent version, you could download, Bayonetta and Cloud from Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but not, they're still not, they're, it's not Sephiroth, and it's not, whoever the villain is of Bayonetta, I don't know. I've played both the games, but don't ask me to tell you.
So, this episode actually does have that different introduction,
yes,
at least from the version that I heard.
the non, rock, Wild Thing ripoff.
Yeah, I guess it's the kind of rock guitar spoken word Wild Thing. Sounds a little bit less like a Weird Al parody, but it's still pretty bad.
Yeah.
They talk about wanting to dissect Swamp Thing. Wouldn't that be just be tossing the salad?
Oh!
Skid Man, we're gonna toss the salad!
Was that Skeletor?
Yes!
Again, speaking of a much better cartoon with a much better villain. Well, I don't know. Actually, who do you think foils more, Dr. Arcane or Skeletor?
There. Skeletor's my dude. You're walking Naugahyde?
You could never put a villain like Skeletor in a modern-day children's cartoon because we're so sensitive now about okay, for anybody listening who's ever been bullied, you know, bullying is bad. I was bullied in high school, but we're talking about fictional fucking characters.
Right. From Eternia.
Fictional characters, as Ben Affleck explains it to Jay and Silent Bob.
Yes.
Fictional characters. So when Skeletor makes fun of his minions by calling them names or whatever, they said that there's no way you could be able to get that to pass in a children's cartoon today. Whereas back then, they made a point of making it be like only Skeletor did that because Skeletor's bad. I'm like, well, then follow through with that being the same way here so Skeletor can get away with being all like, you stupid bonehead, adoric little troll thing. You know, I can't even do it, but I could probably pull up the top 10 best Skeletor rips.
Oh, they're brilliant. Actually, that'd be a great like rap battle is Skeletor versus like Cobra Commander, because he would drop some science too.
Yes. Or Megatron would.
Megatron
would, or whatever. But he'd say something to Starscream like, how could you expect to lead the Decepticons when you can't even lead androids to a picnic?
Yo, it's great. Those guys go all in. That's some 8 Mile right there.
There you go. Yeah, basically. You can just see it or whatever.
Starscream! Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Starscream and Cobra Commander being the exact same voice actor, Chris Latta. It's Mardi Gras right now. I always love a cartoon that shows Mardi Gras.
This is where I got a little upset. I got a little upset last night when I watched this.
Okay.
I take umbrage of this episode. Okay, yes, I was very happy to see the Mardi Gras in cartoon form. But I really got effing annoyed by Swamp Thing's inability to, like, perform as a fucking elemental, just because he really was so bothered by the smog and the pollution, right? And he's and like, please help together. You're an Earth elemental, but let me tell you this: I was at
the same thing with Captain Planet.
True. Well, he's got a bad mullet. That's another bad thing. But I've been to Mardi Gras pre Katrina. I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't be concerned about the smog. I'd be concerned about the other odors. I'll tell you right now, there's no there's porta potties, but I burned the shoes I was in. There was foul stenches, but it wasn't of the industrial variety.
No, it was the human variety.
Yeah,
it's everywhere, man.
So Swamp Thing's got to pull it together a little bit. Sorry, that made me upset. I apologize.
And in fact, like, Mardi Gras, New Orleans, I mean, the entire area that their swamp is located in, that is not in a basin of air current.
No.
So, literally, it cannot have smog.
Right.
You know, it's right off the ocean. The ocean air kind of sweeps it out of that area. It's not a basin to collect that smoggy air like Los Angeles is. It is impossible to actually have smog there. And, in fact, New Orleans is, in air quality, one of the better cities. Just because of the motion of the air in that area.
Huh.
So, yeah, it bothered me, too. You know, it's like, oh, all this pollution. Like, no, that's really not what it is.
Exactly.
What did I email you on Facebook about the Swamp Thing tree set? Because I was trying to make a correction about, like, the Ewok, going back to Ewoks, treehouse playset. Because Swamp Thing did not have one. Or he did. It was, like, a little platform. What did they paint that ass, did I say?
It was the Prince of Thieves.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yep.
Do you remember that a couple weeks ago, Mr. Zeneca?
I remember you mentioning it, yeah.
Okay, so that the Ewok playset from, I think, Return of the Jedi,
yes.
Not the Ewok cartoon series. In fact, unless it was used in the Ewok's cartoon series as, like, repainted for more cartoon colors.
Interesting.
The Ewok playset from Return of the Jedi was repainted for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves toys,
yep.
Connected to the Kevin Costner film.
Yeah. You touched on that last week. Or last episode.
Yes.
Yes.
But I didn't mention that it was the Prince of Thieves.
Yes. Cool.
So,
they freeze Swamp Thing. And one of the things that happens when you freeze plant life is that the cell structure explodes because the moisture, the water inside each cell expands and then bursts out of its, shell border. So if you were to freeze Swamp Thing solid and he, thawed out, he would kind of become goo. It'd be like trying to freeze spinach.
Well, you can buy frozen spinach, though. So how is that different?
Yeah, but it's not going to actually be lively like fresh spinach is.
True, but I
it ends up being mush.
Well, kind of sort of, because I buy a lot of frozen vegetables because when I buy them fresh, I'll eat them once and then put them in the crisper, and then I may like not have time to use them again for several days. They get bad very fast. So I don't see like how that happens with like frozen vegetables you can buy when you thaw them out. They still maintain, you know, they don't like melt away.
No, they don't melt, but he's basically, you know, seaweed, not seaweed, but, you know, different types of greens that grow within the swamp, like mosses and all of that. So, in essence, like, he is mostly a liquidy swamp plant life.
Yeah, he's a bog. He's a living bog, basically.
Yeah. You can't really freeze a living thing and have it reanimate unless it's an amphibian. And so if he were to be unfrozen...
I'm going to say then that probably the swamp, when he dived into it as Alec Holland with the formula, the swamp probably has so much amphibian DNA swimming around it from like...
Oh, that's the point.
Yeah, from blood to teeth to scales to... I mean, think of how much amphibian shed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To everything else, just swimming in there is... You could probably pull up a bucket of swamp water and go have it tested, and like the massive amount of species in that water's DNA would be, you know, off the charts.
So are you saying that the plant matter that makes up Swamp Thing is actually partly amphibian?
It would have to be, because again, his human DNA mixed with the chemicals that he was experimenting with the swamp stuff, and I mean, he's called Swamp Thing, not Plant Thing.
True, but he is a plant elemental.
True. I just think that, again, it's because of the chemical compound mixing together. You know, if you really want to think about this in scientific ways, in a realistic, real-world setting, you know, if they were to make, like, a Swamp Thing movie today, which would be really cool, or a TV series today, with everything we've learned about genetics, compared to when they made it before, and they were just like, let's do science to it and make a monster movie,
right.
Which is what they did. They would incorporate these type of things to explain how Swamp Thing could, like, oh, Swamp Thing gets frozen, then he breaks free, he's perfectly fine. How is that? Oh, it's because of the swamp has, you know, amphibian
blah, blah, yeah.
DNA
right,
in
right,
it.
Right.
And they'd be like, oh, that's so brilliant. And that would just be, like, smart writing from the writers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to accept that designation. You know, there's amphibian DNA in there, just kind of mixed around. So even when he reforms into bridges and pillars and all these other stuff, you know, I could believe that there might be some amphibian DNA just mixed within.
The one thing I don't understand is, like, why in 5 episodes that they animated we needed Swamp Thing's origin told to us again?
Right?
Again!
Yeah. It's in the fucking intro.
Yes.
Too, like, in case you missed it, here you go.
I understand, like, in television shows, they'll do, like, a clip show sometimes because it's padding out a full season worth of episodes, so they'll have an overarching story arc to talk about the clip show for reasons of just, like, the writers ran out of scripts or something, or it was, like, this is your study hall episode.
Oh, exactly. I was almost in a clip show over the weekend. I was telling you, Mr. Chris, I was Dr. Chris. Sorry to go to medical school to be Mr. Chris. But I was painting a bedroom, and all of a sudden the door closed, and we didn't have the doorknobs on. So I was like, oh, man, I'm gonna miss today's episode, and we're going to have to talk about that time we got at the water park.
And then one thing I noticed throughout the episode, and this is pretty much the last of my notes, is that Arcane gets more and more pinky.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming that's maybe just the colors changed from episode to episode.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I have to tell you that, like, this episode, the last half of it felt like so much filler of just talking and whatnot. Yeah. I was actually drowsy.
You were falling
asleep. I was watching it last night, and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of falling asleep here. Yeah, this cartoon show. Glad it's the last one.
But one thing we didn't mention was Swamp Thing was so close this week. He was so close to getting the cure that Dr. Wily was able to provide.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because she had some Agamemnon smoke shifter device that could change the plant DNA.
Correct.
So we thought, which was a technical term for that, but we were very close to back to Dr. Holland again.
And she couldn't remake the machine because her notes were all destroyed.
and it would take at least 5 years to even begin construction.
Couple of things I want to point out from the actors in this episode that I thought gets spotlight. Jonathan Potts, who plays Delbert in every single episode, was on The Strain recently, and he is currently in the Jack Ryan TV series, which is gearing up right now on Netflix, or it's on Amazon Prime.
Interesting.
It stars the guy who played I
wonder if he lists this on his resume.
No, he does. It's on there on the very bottom. But this is the Amazon series starring John Krasinski from The Office as Jack Ryan.
Oh, really?
This is like his turn as an action star. Apparently, he's very good in the role.
Well, interesting.
But don't forget, Jack Ryan is not James Bond. Ryan has never been James Bond. And even in like the Harrison Ford movies, he's not like, you know, shooting stuff up every 5 minutes. He's getting himself into situations because he is a spy. But he's not like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of those films. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Neither is The Hunt for... Think about Alec Baldwin, October. We're getting way off this, but he's been on Supernatural. He was on La Femme Nikita. He was in the Andromeda Strain miniseries in 2008. He's been on Queer Folk. His IMDb goes back to 1986, and this was one of his first roles. But he was the voice of Link on The Legend of Zelda. It's like a lot of these animators worked on The Legend of Zelda. He also worked on The Adventures of Super Mario Brothers and Captain N and the Game Master.
Oh, man.
And then a favorite vampire series of mine, which we might cover one day, Mr. Zeneca, Forever Night.
Oh, yeah.
Love Forever Night. And then we have Richard Yearwood, who is the voice of JT.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
African-American, playing an African-American character. He's been in several video games, such as Donkey Kong Country, the television series, and the video games, Dino Crisis, Deep in the City, I don't know what that is, Master Force, Master of Kung Fu, Dino Saucers.
Dino
Saucers.
That's
great
my joint.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
Love that theme song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what Dino Saucers is?
No.
Oh,
no.
You gotta go watch up. Go look up at least the opening credits, the Dino Saucers. It's a badass opening. And then we have Tabitha St. Germain, who played Abby, the only female in the show other than Dr. Wily's character, but really the only female the last for 5 episodes. She has a long-standing career as Rarity and Princess Luna on My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
Interesting.
Including the movie that's currently in theaters.
Oh, wow.
Excuse me.
I wonder if she shows up to the conventions.
How scary is that matinee going to be? Because they'll be like, you know, one half of the audience is going to be like, you know, the target demographic, I would think, young girls.
Yeah.
And then the other half will be like dudes like over 40. I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated by it.
She was also on Dinosaur Train, which my son watched a lot. She was the voice of Hilda on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the animated series. Littlest Pet Shops.
Yes.
I'm sure that was a big fan favorite too.
You, I have it on Blue.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. she was the voice of Friday, which is Iron Man's AI taking over from Jarvis when Jarvis became the Vision in the Avengers animated series. See what else? Oh, Care Bears. Again, My Little Pony in the 80s she was involved with as well. Transformers Cybertron, Transformers Animated. I mean, her IMDb list of animation is long and extensive. The New Addams Family, The Herculoids, The Neverending Story, the TV series.
Really?
Can you believe if they made a second and third movie? She was on Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. The TV series.
Yeah.
She was on ALF.
Nice.
She was the voice of Paulina Gillis, Rhonda. Oh, she was the voice of Rhonda, Alf's girlfriend from Melmac.
Yeah, because there was a cartoon that was it was a prequel series. He was
but
on Melmac.
She was the voice of the girl and the puppet.
Okay.
Yeah, in the flashbacks, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, The Legend of Zelda. She was Sprite, the little twinkly thing that falls around.
Oh yeah.
Yes, and she got her start working on Ewoks.
Jesus.
That's why I wanted to continue doing this. To all the way to the very end, but going back to Ewoks, she was the voice of one of the characters on Ewoks.
Nice.
Interesting talent pool of failed and not successful TV shows. They all kind of like cross promoted.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they must have just had a pool of voice actors. Like, you know, here's a cartoon. All right, we're just going to throw this mix in here.
Did you want to say?
They all seem to work on the same stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. Did you want to say anything about Len Wein? We didn't really cover too much about his passing last week, Michael.
Oh no, I'm sure it's been covered.
Ago.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, and I mean, not only did he co-create, Swamp Thing, co-create Wolverine, but we lost a legend,
Nightcrawler,
Storm, yeah,
Colossus,
Lucius Fox
of the Batman universe.
I mean, it's one of those things where you don't know the average, fan.
As well as Abby and Arcane.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, this guy is huge. And what I also not talked about was he wrote the Untold Legend of the Batman.
Yes.
Which, before year one, Frank Miller's year one, to my understanding, was kind of seen as the definitive Batman origin for a long time.
And when the Batman movie came out, I probably had never read a Batman comic book up to that point. I knew who Batman was. I'd watched Super Friends and the Batman, 66 TV series. Yeah. I mean, what kid did not know who Batman was?
Right,
so when the 1989 movie came out, I was at the bookstore looking for books about Batman.
Mm-hmm.
There was the little
digest size
yeah. of The Untold Tales of Batman written by Len Wein. With art by Jim Aparo, who's also passed away.
Yeah, oh, Jesus.
And it was a great little origin where Batman is trying to find out, who's destroying his life or something. And, it was a very different origin. I think it was like a Silver Age. I think it was the Silver Age origin of Batman.
Well, kind of. I mean, it was
before Frank Miller.
It was originally, yeah. I mean, it was mid-'80s or early-'80s. It was in comic form. But it was when they collected it. It was black and white, like you would get it from your book fair at school. And the day I got that was not only did I get that, but I got the new Teen Titans George Perez Marv Wolfman one of the first six issues.
Oh, cool.
And I completely adored it. And for the longest time, that introduced how does Batman get his Batmobile built? Who was the first Batman? Revealed that Thomas Wayne wore the suit.
Well, the one thing I also think is that Len and Bernie never got the recognition as much as they deserve, because Alan Moore would step into Swamp Thing later on.
Correct.
Completely, change everything, making it seem like he made it so, Alec was dead and the Swamp believed itself to be Alec Holland.
It shifted it, yeah.
He brought in John Constantine and that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fair. I mean, there are guys. I mean, you can't deny the talents of Alan Moore and Frank Miller and guys who came after the fact. But someone like Len and those guys of that era, we wouldn't have them if it wasn't for them. Their name. It's not sexy to talk about them, because it's more sexy to talk about Grant Morrison or the British guys. But there's a level, and I think Len Wein should be on a Mount Rushmore of creators that don't get their due.
Right.
Bill Mantle is another guy.
What did he do?
Writer. He worked on Millennium, a bunch of stuff. I believe he worked on Cloak and Dagger.
Okay.
And even guys like Bill Finger, who people never talk about.
Yeah, or Jack Kirby.
Who's
which,
he?
who's celebrating his 100th anniversary, his 100th yeah. birthday this year. And
he made vacuum cleaners, right?
It's the fact that, and unfortunately, he died in 1994, so yeah. He's only ever made, one Marvel, not the Marvel current cinematic universe, but he's in, one thing. He's a character sketch artist, I think, in the Trial of the Incredible Hulk or something like that.
I think you're right. The one with Daredevil was in for the
yeah,
first time. Yeah,
yeah. Stan Lee's in the jury box or whatever when the Hulk flips the jury box over
yep.
in the dream sequence. But he's a sketch artist in something in the Incredible Hulk, I think. And
I think he
has no lines, but he's doing the sketching for the person trying to describe what they saw.
Yeah.
But I just don't think, even though his name does show up in the credits for the X-Men movies or the X-Men Gifted TV series, which starts tomorrow on Fox,
nice.
We'll probably have his credit in there because he did co-create the X-Men, so we'll probably say based on characters created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
It'd be nice. I mean, and I think actually the closest thing was on the Superman animated series where they used his likeness for Terrible Dan Turpin.
Yes, and all the episodes with the
New Gods.
The New Gods, yeah. The episode ends saying, long live the king, dedicated to Jack Kirby, because he created the New Gods.
Definitely. I think I love Stan, right? We all can say we love Stan Lee, but Stan played ball. And with a lot of creators like your Kirby, your Ditko, and once again, all the ones that we haven't mentioned that don't get the recognition. And when all these properties, I believe actually Bill Mantel created Rocket Raccoon, and I'm probably saying his name wrong.
Is he dead then? Because I remember there was like a screening for Guardians of the Galaxy with a guy who created Rocket Raccoon in his hospital room.
Yes, he was hit by, I think he's almost like brain dead. Or he was hit crossing the street. One of the last, before Wizard canceled, they did an article on him, and he's basically been a near vegetable or pretty messed up for the last probably 10 years.
Oh, okay. But I do remember they went to his hospital or his house or whatever while he was in bed so he could watch the Guardians of the Galaxy movie like that day and like, Bradley Cooper was there with him, whatever, is like, you know, because he's the voice of Rocket.
Yeah, that sounds about right, I believe.
Yeah. And also, really quick, I think I mentioned everybody that I just wanted to throw this in there because it's connected to the Supernatural of the DC Universe. Did anyone get a chance to watch the Spectre cartoon?
I didn't have a chance to, unfortunately.
I did not.
Okay, that's fine. Maybe we'll cover it on another trip to the DC Universe. But if you haven't seen it, to our listening audience, you can find it on the Justice League Crisis of Two Worlds DVD, but it's also in the compilation of all the DC short films DVD, and they're all like a little bit longer, so there's like a couple scenes of animation thrown back in to pad them out to like 15 minutes each, and then like the main short in it is Captain Marvel versus Black Adam with Superman involved too.
Thank you for saying Captain Marvel too, I appreciate that.
Yes, that movie coming out will not be called Captain Marvel, it'll be called The Power of Shazam.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this episode of the Dead TV Podcast, covering the last two episodes of Swamp Thing, the animated series. I'd like to thank Michael Ravenchild for joining us once again for this terrible, terrible commercial.
Yes, yes.
Yay, thank you for coming.
Thank you, thank you. And after making me watch that five episodes, I am never coming on the show again.
Not until we do Spawn the animated series.
All right, cool. That I can get by.
It's our little sadistic gift to you.
That might be done in like six. The three seasons are only six episodes apiece, so we might do it as like three different podcasts of each season because they're so short. You know what I mean?
Cool, cool.
So we'll probably do dedicate like maybe 10 minutes to each episode to do them all at once. You have an event coming up on Friday the 13th, Michael.
Oh, it's very exciting. Yes, the Deadites and the crew from Trick or Treat Radio will be at the DCU in beautiful Worcester, Massachusetts. It's the over 10 years, I want to say maybe 12th year of the Rock and Shock. It's America's horror convention. And the Deadites will be playing at...
Considering one of the people who owns Rock and Shock is part of the Deadites, I hope you would know.
Yes, yeah, I'm not sure he knows, quite frankly. You haven't been downstairs at the Lucky Dog.
He'll be on my show, Radio of Horror, tonight, the day that we're recording.
Is it really? Nice, yeah. Nice. That's exciting. No, yes, so we'll be returning to the club that the Rolling Stones made famous and to the room the Deadites made dangerous. That's right, the Cove Music Hall. So the Deadites will be there, along with Beaver McD and Captain Insidious. They're a band called Agents of Chaos. They're a hip-hop nerdcore band. And Teal, with three E's, from New Jersey, will be in, playing his sexy synth sounds. And if you don't know the Deadites' music, picture Depeche Mode meets a John Carpenter score. Throw it in a back alley and give it a spin kick, and that's kind of the Deadites. So come check us out.
Cool. And Ms. Zeneca, you have an event coming up soon, right?
Yes, I do. On Saturday, October 7th, I'm having the Cherry Noir 5th anniversary party. Yay, we've been in business for 5 years. Amazing to think of that in the Philadelphia area. So if you are in the Philly area, go to elegantlykinky.com and reserve your space at the party.
Awesome. And then in about a week or so, or 10 days from when this posts on our website, the Dead TV Podcast will be shifting over to Fridays, no longer be on Wednesdays, as we do Friday the 13th. So we can hit every Friday the 13th that happens to have every time there is a Friday the 13th in the month that we happen to be on the air, excuse me, let me rephrase that, that way we can try to hit every single Friday the 13th. May or may not work out because we're on an every other week podcast, but you're going to get two episodes of the Dead TV podcast back to back on the 4th of October and then on Friday the 13th, covering the first two episodes of Friday the 13th, the TV series. Thank you, everybody. Don't forget to check us out on Patreon and to download this episode and visit us on our Facebook page, The Dead TV Podcast, as well as our individual Twitters at ChrisDSAV and at ElegantlyKinky. Have a good night.